Welcome to Publishing Cousins, where family meets the fascinating world of books. I'm Melissa Lesher, the author.
And I'm Nikki Becker, the illustrator.
We are partners in publishing.
Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in publishing? Well, you're in the right place. Every episode, we'll be pulling back the curtain on this wild and wonderful industry, sharing our own creative adventures, and dishing out hard-earned wisdom about writing and illustrating for publication.
From manuscript mayhem to deadline drama, from sketch submissions to final flourishes, we're bringing you the real deal, served with the hefty side of cousin banter and plenty of laughs. Whether you're dreaming of seeing your own work in print or you're just a book lover curious about how the magic happens, we've got something special for you.
So grab your favorite beverage, settle into your comfy chair, and join us for an insider's journey through the world of publishing. We're the Publishing Cousins, and we can't wait to share our stories with you.
Welcome, everybody, to the second episode of the Publishing Cousins podcast. We're so excited you joined us. And this morning, as we are recording this episode, Nikki and I are experiencing a rather cold front. Is that what you want to say, Nikki?
It's frigid. It's a frigid cold front.
It is so cold. They canceled school in our area. I think our wind chills are like negative 20s today.
Oh, really? Yours is that high?
Yeah, or that low, really.
I know.
So Nikki and I are about 3 hours apart. She's about 3 hours south of me. So our temperatures probably aren't exactly the same. Where are you guys at temp wise?
Well, the high when I woke up was -1. But I never looked to see what our wind chill was. So, but negative is still, I mean, yeah, I guess we get that from time to time.
Although wind chill. I have a...
Okay, so it's sunny and 2 degrees, but it feels like -15. So there you go.
There. Yeah. It is cold. And I have a dear author friend, Jody Basie, lives in Alaska, and she's always talking about how it's like -45. She probably thinks we're being chicken right now, but but it's cold for us here in Indiana. And so I actually have a big giant cup of hot tea. What did you bring with you this morning?
I don't have hot. I had coffee early this morning. So now I've got cold. You ever heard of those bay waters? The cherry is my favorite. So I've got some bay. I think it's bay, B-A-I. Oh, it's good stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I definitely went hot. I don't like the cold. So, all right. So, Nikki, today, last episode, we talked about just our experience and how we got into, how I got into the author career, how you got into the illustrating career. And so today we just wanted to offer our audience a little insight into where do you get started? So if you're someone that's sitting there thinking, I think I really like to do this, but I don't know where to start. Hopefully this episode will give you some ideas on how to get started on that goal. So Nikki, I have to ask, because I know nothing about the illustrating industry, how in the world do you get started in that industry?
Oh, there's a multitude of ways. And what I love about this business is that you don't have to do it one way. There's not one way to do this. In fact, every illustrator I know, I think, has a very different story of how they got started. I will say, I feel like you have to have a little bit of artistic or creative desire. You have to want to draw.
Yeah.
Because you're going to do a lot of it. You have to have the love, the passion to want to bring a story to life. And one of the things that I think is very important is some kind of idea of visual literacy. Yeah, we rely heavy on words when we have a story of any kind, whether it's, you know, adult or all the way down to children who aren't reading, infants, babies. There's got to be some form of visual literacy. And I really think that it's important that if you want to go into it on an illustration side, that you have an understanding of that, because for children, you want that to be there for the child specifically, but you also want it to be there for an adult who, or a sibling, or that might be reading to that child, that the book is in that circumstance or situation being read to or for. So visual literacy is huge. Now, I'm off on a tangent already with visual literacy, but you need to have that understanding when illustrating for children, no matter the age. But where to start? So if you already know all that and you draw all the time and you know this is where you want to go, my biggest suggestion is you start by being around books all the time. You figure out a way, like if you're visiting Barnes and Noble, you're seeing what's out there, you take advantage. There's courses all over the place. And I wish back when I was first starting, after art school, or even maybe before art school, my experience was prior to the internet. So, you know, it was following that line of education. I was taught that you follow that line. You take all the art courses you can when you're young. So if that meant in school taking art 1, 2, 3, 4, I sought out, you know, like your local art association, or, you know, there's outside sources from school that, you know, a lot of communities have. Some people don't have access to that, but some people, you know, it exists in some fashion, some places. And then
I'd say the same's true if you're looking at the author side of it. Mm-hmm. There are always local groups that you can get connected to, and I highly, highly recommend that you do, just for the accountability, but you're also going to learn from those people as well, which I'm sure you have experienced. And I just have to note, you really dated us by saying we didn't have the web back when we were kids.
you might have had it a little more than me. But no.
Yeah.
So moving on from that, you have that background. Now, focusing on where you want to put that artistic talent, that's ever evolving. But for illustrators, nowadays on the internet, there's tons of really good, everybody goes to YouTube videos. I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not someone who will go and, oh, I want to watch a drawing video. That's not my cup of tea, but there are places that are amazing. I'm going to give a shout out to, for me, it wasn't until I think Facebook that I started getting a little more serious. And for me, my goal when I left art school and I went on, it was have some kind of job to earn money that was around something creative. So I think I started working at Michael's Arts and Crafts. Then that morphed into moving into an art gallery and / frame shop. And then that went into working at a library system. So I moved up the ladder when I was young into jobs that earned a little bit of income so that I could draw at nighttime. And during that time, I was honing my skills. I was taking classes of whatever. And I was just drawing all the time. But then I was surrounded by the goal, you know, especially when I went on into library systems. Like I was a youth service specialist. So that meant I got to plan story times and programs for kids. So I got to see books all day long. And that was huge for me. That's really what really pushed me into going, okay, I've got to make this become life, because I'd spent a number of years just drawing and building a portfolio that you look back on now, it was terrible. But and that landed, you know, doing all of those things landed me that first book. The internet has made it a lot easier to find people to connect with that could potentially be clients. My first book was a contest. It was you submit an illustration based on a snippet of text, and then it was chosen, and then went on. The book ended up being produced. So that was my beginning. But there's so many ways out there. But then Facebook allows you to connect, or not just Facebook, but you know, you've got all of the platforms today and you've got all of the websites. There's all kinds of ways to find a community to be a part of, to just keep you motivated, to keep you doing, and then to potentially find. My first agent found me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you hit on a lot of things that really parallel in the writing world.
Good.
That's which good. Is awesome. So you mentioned that you worked other jobs and at night you drew. So anyone listening here that's going, that's great, I really want to write, but I just don't have time for it. You have to make the time for it. Even I still work a full-time job, but I make sure that I try to write every day at all possible. And if the week gets crazy and I can't, just because of demands for the job that I hold, then I make sure my Saturday's blocked out.
Right.
And Saturday I am writing, because if you don't do it, it's never going to happen. But that's also the time that you take, like you said, to learn your craft.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a bookshelf over here full of books on writing craft. I've signed up for online courses with fellow writers that are ahead of me, right? They've already published, but they're sharing their knowledge through courses. And of course, you mentioned you can do formal training through college as well, mm-hmm. if you want. That is definitely an option, a place to start. But I highly, highly recommend, as Nikki said, get plugged into writing communities.
Yes.
And go to conferences and connect with others in your genre. That's huge for authors especially. And you mentioned you being around books, so you could see those illustrations. That's what your goal is, to be an illustrator for children's books. But for an author, you need to be reading the books in the genre you are going to write in, because you are going to learn so much about story structure and reader expectations.
You know, other ways to learn for illustration. I'm curious to know if it's the same with writing. I often say today that if I had these resources online 20 years ago, I might have skipped art school, because wow, what an expense. But if you truly have that passion and you truly have some sort of talent, you can be self-taught. You don't have to be formally trained to do illustration. Mm-hmm. Now, there's something called, it's SVS, S as in Sam, V as in Victor, S as in Sam, learn.com. There's a couple really good illustrators who have started the School of Visual Storytelling. And you can go in and take all, I mean, there's a pod, they have a podcast, they have a community, they have courses. And it does cost to take a course with them, but it's really inexpensive and compared to a formal education is in art school. And I'm telling you, you get a more direct, this is what you're going to learn. So if you're taking a lighting course, you're going to get that in-depth knowledge. There's all kinds of places on the internet that you can find courses to take. Illustrators, a lot of illustrators who do this full-time also have courses that they've come mm-hmm. out with, like, because that's another thing that they can offer, a service they can offer with their talents, that, you know, I've been doing character design all this time for picture books, I've got a course now on it. You can come find me, and for $30, you can take my 4-week course on that. You're going to get my videos, and I think you do that in writing as well. Correct.
Mm-hmm. I run my own historical Christian romance writers, and yes, I offer courses in there as well, where I bring in experts, other authors in that have published multiple books, come in and do teachings with our group as well. But for formal training that's not college related, I highly recommend the Authors Conservatory. I've had them on my podcast before, just talking about what they have to offer. But it's like you said, it's a much cheaper version than college. But they wrap around you so much, so many experts in the field, right? It's authors who have already published, but then they also add in business class businesses as well. So Becky Kapitsky, she runs the Inspired Business Company. I went through a training with her. She was a coaching session with her. She was excellent. They just recently hired her in, and so she is helping those students learn the business side of being an author, especially this day and age. You know, before, you couldn't ever get published if you didn't have an agent who could then pitch your book to a publisher, right? Now, anybody can publish at any moment with Amazon. It's a little bit easier to get out there. But if you don't know how the business side of that works, you're going to pump books out and not make money. You know, and everyone wants this to be a career, so it needs to pay the bills. And so I highly recommend that training. Thomas Umstead Jr., who over at Author Media, he also offers a host of courses. And his he's got one that kind of encompasses them all, and I'm part of it, and I can't think of the name of it right now. But it's excellent. It has everything from where to start, and he's also got one that's like the 5-year plan. So here's where you start, and in 5 years you should be up and running and
oh, that's awesome.
And going. So yeah, there's plenty out there that's a lot cheaper than going to college, and you can do it from the comfort of your couch in your pajamas.
and that makes it so much nicer, because you can be anywhere in life and want to start this. And that's part of the beauty of it. I'm going to throw something huge out there, and it has been around many, many, many years, and it's perfect for writers and illustrators in the children's market specifically. And that's SCBWI. So that's Society of Children's Books, Writers and Illustrators. There's a .com. It's a worldwide international organization, but in the United States, and even globally, they have broken it down to chapters or regions. So like, we have an Indiana chapter.
And I will just kind of go back to, you mentioned some conferences and some groups to be part of if you're an illustrator. I highly recommend, now I write in the Christian market, so a lot of my recommendations are coming from that. American Christian Fiction Writers, ACFW, is a national conference that you're part of. And then once you join that, then you can join your local. So I'm part of the national, and then I'm part of the Indiana. And right now I'm serving as their vice president for the Indiana. So I actually highly recommend that once you join, like, I was a member only for a year, and they had an opening come up, and I thought, hey, I'm going to try it. The more you get involved, the more people you get to connect with, because I get to reach out to other experts and set them up to do trainings with our ACFW group, which then in turn turns around and lets me connect with them for not only to help my own writing, but to bring them into my personal writers group for historical romance writers. So I highly, highly recommend that you do that. And when you're looking for a writers group, especially one that you're going to go to for critiquing, it needs to be genre specific. Yep. If you go in to get critiques and feedback from fellow writers, and you've got a sci-fi writer, a romance writer, and I don't know, someone who does poetry, your feedback is not, it'll be good. Don't get me wrong. You can get good feedback, but it's going to be very generic, because your sci-fi writer doesn't write for your readers, right? Your poetry writer does not write for your readers. I'm coming from the romance stance. So you're going to want to get in with others that write in your genre.
Right.
So I just highly recommend that. And I know Nikki and I have spit out a ton of places that you could go to get started or get connected. And we'll be sure to put links to all of those in the notes for this podcast episode, so you can head over there and click through and find what works for you. But I think, Nikki, you'd probably say the same thing at this point. If you're at the starting point, just keep writing, or just keep drawing, and get connected. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Publishing Cousins. If you enjoyed our creative conversation today, be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcast. We'd also love it if you could rate, review, and share the show. It helps other book lovers find us. You can learn more about Nikki's portfolio and Melissa's novels at publishingcousins.com. And if you have questions about writing, illustrating, or publishing that you'd like us to cover in future episodes, send them our way at literaryscape@literaryscape.com. Until next time, keep creating, and remember, in publishing, as in family, there's always room for more stories.